Good morning, church, and good morning, moms. Thank you all of you for being here. I appreciate it so much. If you have the Bible with you today, I'm going to ask you to turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit for you here today, and then we'll go back and talk about it. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of the Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the privilege that we have to be here to worship this morning. Lord, we get to do this and it's incredibly wonderful. I thank you for each and every person who's come out this morning. For all the moms, Lord, that are in the building. For the children, Lord, that are here with them, Lord, to celebrate this day. Lord, I thank you so much for them, for their life, for their influence, Lord, for their ministry. And Father, I just pray even for their example. And Lord, I pray that we would always look forward to seeing the good and the positive things, Lord, that have come from our mothers. Lord, no one loves us like they do on the earth. Father, I just pray today that you would take your word, that you would allow me, Lord, to explain it accurately, passionately, Lord, and that we would learn something that we could take with us today, Father, that would mean something to us as we leave this building, that we would realize, Lord, that we are better than when we came here, Father, because we've been in your presence. So speak to us, Lord, up close and personal. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hannah's name means gracious, graciousness, or favor. In biblical days, names had a lot to do with character. It had a lot to do with the quality of the individual. And the Bible says that Hannah was the favorite wife of Elkanah. He was a Levite of Ramah, who belonged to one of the most honorable families of the whole priestly line of Jacob, and that was the Kohathites. And I want you to know for sure when you read this, it says in verse 2 that he had two wives. I want you to understand that polygamy, more than one wife, was common during this particular time. It was not God's intention, but it was common. If you read Genesis 2:24, Malachi 2:15, you'll understand that it was indeed not God's intention, but it also was indeed a practice common for that culture. It was also the burning desire for every Hebrew woman to have a son. And herein lies the difficulty in this particular story. Hannah was barren. Now, Elkanah had another wife, according to the scripture. Her name was Peninnah. We know very little about her. We know that she bore several children to Elkanah, and she grieved Hannah with a critical spirit and a critical tongue and a lot of negative things that she had to say. She quickly is left behind in the text. And what happens is we find out that we talk a lot more about Hannah than we do about Peninnah. She's mentioned. It's said about her what she was and what she did and what she had. And then she's pretty much left to the rest of the scripture that talks about Elkanah and his care for Hannah. Hannah became the mother eventually of the renowned Samuel that we talked about last week. She also bore Elkanah three other children, three other sons, and two other daughters, and they're mentioned by name in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. You might ask, why should we talk about Hannah? What's the big deal here? What are we supposed to learn? Why is it valuable? Why is it important? Well, the Bible's portrait of Hannah paints her as one of the most notable Hebrew women in the entire Bible who ever lived. Her life is an inspiration. Her life is a benediction because, you know, Hannah is a beautiful example of how the most unpleasant circumstances does not necessarily have to turn you into one of the most unpleasant people. She lived in very difficult circumstances, but it can produce some amazing character among those who would allow the Lord to do something special. The question was asked of me a long time ago, do people and circumstances make you who you are, or do they just reveal to you who you are? And I believe there's a little bit of both in that. I think the latter probably is the most important there. I think so many times that people and circumstances basically reveal to you and I who we have chosen to be. And in Hannah's particular situation, her life was an absolutely beautiful picture of what it's like when you allow the Lord to do His work in your life. Now that would be true, guys, for you and I as well, and for children as well. The story of her life is encouraging to anyone who would be struggling in less than perfect situation, in less than pleasant surroundings. Her life is pictured in a lot of ways as somber in the very beginning and mournful because she didn't have a child, but very much radiant with faith and hope in the very end because God answered her prayer to have a child. And I think it's a fitting introduction to her career of her great son Samuel, who was an amazing judge and prophet in Israel. I believe he received a lot from his mom. And I don't know about you, but I believe all of us, if we pay close attention, if mom was close in our life and we enjoyed our moms, we learned a lot from our moms. My mom would fix me anything I wanted for my breakfast. It didn't make any difference what the request was. Now, I will just go and say this. I didn't have no brothers and sisters of competition. I was an only brat. And I use that word brat with a capital B in case y'all want to know. I was there. I lived it. I know. She treated me exceptionally well. My mom would give me pretty much whatever I want. And I can thank God for my dad in the picture because without my dad, I would be worse spoiled than I really am now. No need to amen, Diane. She's shaking her head. What can we say about what we receive from our moms? And how do you measure that? Let's just get real for a second. Even if life experience with mom wasn't always pleasant, I'm sure there were times when it was. I've shared with you before, and I'll be personal because that's what I believe I need to be. During my teenage years and during my late 8, 9, 10, all the way through till I was almost out of high school, my mom was an alcoholic, certified, completely, totally in need of care and got it. And I saw things that I would hate to even think about again over the years with my mom as an alcoholic. But my mom loved me. And she made it very real. And I loved my mom. I just hated the disease that she had. Does that make sense? Okay. I don't think we need a special day for us to wake up to the reality that nobody gives like mom. Nobody loves us like mom. And I think that we could spend hours in here today and we'd never get to the bottom of the things that need to be said. It's almost like doing a funeral service. You have 30 minutes or so to talk about the life of this person, but how do you talk about the value of any particular individual in 30 minutes? How do you cover all the bases? How do you see all of the things that are of incredible value? And today, I want to share just a few things about Hannah that I think are of incredible value, especially to our moms here today. 5 things basically summarize Hannah's life, and if time permits, we'll talk about all 5. She was painted as a woman who had an unblemished character. She was devoted to religious duties and practices of her people. She truly loved God, and she lived for God. Hannah was separated unto the Lord in the midst of a trying and domestic relationship, and she knew how to trust the Lord to see her through this relationship. You know, she cried day and night unto the Lord, and she was heard of the Lord. And that needs to be said. Folks, listen, when you're in a very difficult circumstances and situations, and I believe that if you live long enough on this planet, we're going to find ourselves there. There's going to just be some things that we feel powerless to do anything about. There's going to be some circumstances and some situations that I'm going to need help bigger than me. I'm going to need help more than what I can bring to the table. And Hannah was that person. She was in a very difficult situation. Peninnah would make fun of her. Peninnah would criticize her because she did not have any children. It was a very difficult time for her. And she had a reverence and an awe for the Lord. And we'll find out that when she could have complained and could have moaned and groaned and griped, what you get from her is she goes before the Lord in prayer and she pours out her heart to God. Listen, church, I think that's still needed and necessary for all of us. There are just moments when we need something bigger than ourselves. She had a very godly character, a very godly devotion, a trust and a patience and a level of self-sacrifice. And God would bless her for it. And that lifestyle in turn was lived out before Samuel. And Samuel would become that kind of a person in his life. You know, the whole point being is that it was no easy task to live with years, for years and years and years, with a woman like Peninnah, who would criticize her on a regular basis. But Hannah retained her faith and her focus, and she honored God in difficult times. I mean, stop and think about it. Mom, do you want your character, you want your children to follow your example? If I could just be up close and personal today. Are there things in your life that you hope and pray that your children will emulate? Have you tried to teach them the ways of the Lord? Have you demonstrated those things before her so that she would be encouraged? Second thing is her sorrow. One of the commentaries that I read spoke volumes about this. They said, while Hannah had a house, she did not have a home. And there's a lot of that going on nowadays. Some folks have fine, beautiful houses. Couldn't ask for anything finer. But the things that go on inside the walls of the house don't look much like a home. Home for me is where my wife is. And that's important. If I live in a refrigerator box on the side of the road, home is where my wife and I are at together. Every devout Jewess wanted children and a home. Now, it's true if you read the passage that's before us here, Elkanah was exceptionally good to her. He was a devout husband, and he loved her dearly, and the Word of God says so. And he bestowed rich gifts upon her, and he did Peninnah also. But Hannah was childless, and no amount of gift-giving was going to fill that emptiness for her. He tries to comfort her, and he says in verse 8, you know, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? But as the years went by, the agony without having that child became more intense, and her barrenness was a greater burden. And because of the jealousy and the hard-heartedness of her rival, it was hard. It was difficult. These circumstances were beyond what she was able to handle emotionally on her own. But like her name, she manifested a level of grace and control. How do we handle circumstances and situations? Like the old saying that I read on one of the walls, and you've heard this before, but it was so valuable to me that I keep repeating it. When you're up to your ears in alligators, it's hard to remember that your main objective was to drain the swamp. When things are difficult, when life doesn't go the way you want it to go, when you would rather make another choice somewhere else, when life just seems to have turned south, and we often question, God, where are you in the middle of all of this? The testimony of the Word of God, my friends, is that you are not by yourself. And Hannah is a perfect example of a woman who was out of options except for the Lord. The Lord had shut up her womb, but her spirit was still wide open toward God. You ever had anything taken away from you that you really wish you could have back? She hadn't had anything yet, no children. She could have closed up her heart and her spirit just like her womb was. But the testimony of the Word of God, my friends, is that she remained open unto the Lord. She continued to put in His ears the things that she was interested in, and that was a child. One of the things that's not here that speaks volumes to me is that you'll not read anywhere where she retaliated in a negative way against Peninnah. And she certainly did not retaliate in a negative way against the Lord himself. And I find that exceptional. Every comforting act of her husband Elkanah would be met with resentment by Peninnah. The more Elkanah lavished Hannah with gifts and love, the more jealous Peninnah became. And it's just an ugly situation. That's the way polygamy was, and I suppose it probably is today as well. If one person is thought more highly of than another person, then you have jealousy and you have rivalry and so forth and so on. And I don't want to sugarcoat the word of God because it's very, very clear. This was a very difficult circumstance in which she lived. And she paid a very high price for staying in that. But one of the things that she did was she prayed. This is the third thing. A humble request unto the Lord, a petition, so to speak. She asked God to help her. Although she was childless, she was not prayerless. And that becomes a matter of a very, very great importance. She still believed. And in her pain, even in her pain, she found a refuge in prayer. Sometimes in our pain, we tend to go the other direction. We become angry and we become bitter and we become accusatory. And we become just difficult to deal with in every way, form, or fashion, but not Hannah. She found in God a refuge. She found in prayer a place of refuge to go where she could speak to the Lord. Rather than turning to bitterness, she turned to God. And those are the character qualities that are exceptionally important, and I think it would be good for all of us to hear that and to understand it. In God's house, she petitioned very humbly that the Lord would remove the reproach of her barrenness. She simply wanted it to go away. And to the extent that if God would grant her prayer, she would give her child back to the Lord for his exclusive use. And I need you to hear this. She meant every single word of it. God, if you'll just give me a child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. He can serve you. She spoke to God and God heard her prayer. And oftentimes when God hears our prayers, he gives us that which we ask for. Not every single time, because I believe that our Heavenly Father knows better for you and I, that sometimes to answer our prayer, yes, would be detrimental to us. Notice what she did not do. Although she was a woman of prayer, she did not pray for Peninnah's downfall. She did not pray for pain and heartache to be on her rival. She did not pray for any kind of failure to her adversary. Now, folks, that's real character. How valuable is that? Let me just ask it this way. When's the last time you prayed for your enemies? You see where I'm talking about? It's hard to do. When someone takes a stand against you, when someone makes your life miserable, when somebody by design upsets your apple cart, so to speak, and wants you to have a downfall, it is very hard. Jesus taught us to do that, though, didn't he? Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who would want to harm you. That's a tall order, isn't it? It's tough. Some of our moms have given us great examples of how to do that, how to love through the pain, how to love through the hurt, how to pray through the pain and the disappointment. You know, God can be touched by our infirmities, folks, and I need you to know that. He can, and he will be present in our prayers. And sometimes he chooses to break the bonds that are holding us down. She went to the temple. She went to Eli the priest, and she began to pray. And she was so emotionally moved by that, he thought she was drunk. And he went over there because she was mouthing words, but no sound was coming out. And he went over there and accused her of being drunk. And she said, "Oh, no, no. This is just a very intensely personal prayer. And I don't want you to think that I'm drunk at all." And she defended her innocence, and she declared that she had not taken any kind of strong drink. But she had poured her heart out, her soul out to God again, and Eli understood what she was going through, and he understood that this was indeed genuine and real. And she said, she called herself a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And in her prayer, she didn't ask anything for herself alone. There's no selfishness here. What she asked for, "God, if you'll give me a son, the desire of my heart." and has been the desire of my heart for years and years and years. If you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life for service unto you. So she was very real with God. Eli assured her that her prayer had been heard. And I love the passage of scripture, verse 17. It said, go in peace. That's something that she didn't have. She didn't have any peace. She hadn't had any peace for a long time. Eli told her, you go in peace. God has heard your prayer. And it was God would not be deaf here. He would grant her petition. So she left the house. She came into the house, a woman of a very sorrowful spirit. She left that house content, for she believed, and she was no longer sad, but she was joyful. And here's what God did. He gave her the child that she asked for, and she named him Samuel, and his name means asked of the Lord. So the names here constantly reveal some wonderful things about character. You know, I don't know what my name actually means. I'm not sure I really want to know. At the same time, there are some of you who have named your children after biblical names, and those names had great character involved in them. That's all she asked for. God, I just want a child. If you'll give me that child, I'll give him back to you. Chapter 2 is an absolutely beautiful song, and time won't permit us to talk all the way about it, but with her desire fulfilled, she breaks out into a song, much like Mary, the mother of Jesus, did when Mary broke out into a song about being able to have a child. And she pours out her heart in gratitude to God for his incredible goodness, and the song is so much like the one that Mary sang unto the Lord in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke over in the New Testament. It speaks of the power of God, of the holiness of God, of the knowledge and the majesty and the grace of God, and it appraises God in just about every single sentence. So this is a beautiful prayer, a beautiful song that she breaks out into. If you get a chance, read the first 10 or 12 verses of chapter 2 in 1 Samuel here, and you will love that. And finally, her sacrifice, that's found in verses 21 through 28, and I want to read that. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I'll not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman alone abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah prayed and promised. And when her prayer was answered, she quietly redeemed and honored her promise. More than anything in the world, she wanted a son. And when God gave her one, she gave him back to the Lord. And after he was weaned, they delivered him up to Eli the priest. And the word of God says, there to abide forever at Shiloh. I realize that if we had all day and all night, and I mentioned it earlier, we would never be able to talk about all the wonderful things that we receive from the people that God put in our lives. I'm satisfied that there's no love on the planet that equals a mother's love. And ladies, we love you, and we thank you, and we appreciate you, and we are better because of who you are, and we are better because that you're here, and we are better because you serve the Lord and you set examples and you do the things that are needed to be examples, not only to your husband, but to your children and to those who are in your life. And once a year, the Bible says that she made a little coat for him, chapter 2, verse 19. And once a year, she took that coat to Shiloh and she gave him. What a picture of godliness. What a picture of sacrifice. What a picture of saying, God, if you'll do this for me, I will do this for you, and I promise you that I will do as I have said to you.
I don't know about you folks, but I've made promises to God that I backed out on. Maybe you have too. What a beautiful picture Hannah is. I can't imagine, even as a dad, praying and praying and praying and praying for a son, and then taking him somewhere and dropping him off for someone else to raise. That's how strong her passion was. She kept him long enough to wean him, and then she did exactly what she said she would do. You know how rare that really is, even among God's people? God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that. I will give him back to you. The excellence of many men have been foreshadowed, if not exemplified, in the character of their mothers. Guys, we are better than we would be without her. We are stronger. We are often more committed. We're often far more blessed than we would be without her. Some of you are here today, and your mothers are gone. And I get that. I'm among that group. God bless you for still being here in this building today. And I encourage you today and often to soak up those memories that you have of the good things that your mom poured into your life. Nobody does it like mom does it. So I pray today that, as we've talked just a little bit about Hannah, that you would see in her a great example of what it's like. We should honor and revere our moms, irregardless of their challenges, irregardless of their failures, irregardless. Many of you in the building today are serving the Lord because of the faith of your mom. Many of you are doing well in your life because of the devotion and the love and the character of your mom. And today, we celebrate you, ladies. Make no mistake, we celebrate you today much more than a gift basket, much, much more than a corsage. We celebrate you today. And I hope you feel it. And sons and daughters, make sure you take this opportunity today to say what you need to say to that mom that's still with you. Because you never know when those days are going to be gone. And I pray today that if your mom has been that example in your life, and for some reason you have yet to get to that place where you would want to give the Lord Jesus your life, my prayer today is that you would make that call today. You would remember that that was important to her, and it needs to be important to you as well. And I pray that before you leave this building today, that you would give your life to Christ. And I want to share a reading with you as I close. And you may have heard it before, and if you do, or you have, that's okay. It's called 1 Corinthians 13 for Mothers. That's the love chapter, and I hope you'll enjoy this, and I'll close with this. If I keep my house immaculately clean and I am envied for all of my interior decorating, but I don't show any love to my family, well, I'm just another housewife. If I'm always producing lovely things, sewing and art, and if I always look attractive and I speak intelligently, but I'm not loving to my family, I'm nothing. If I'm busy in community affairs and I teach Sunday school and I drive in the carpool, but I fail to give adequate love to my family, I gain nothing. Love changes diapers, cleans up messes, and ties shoes over and over
and over again. Love is kind, though tired and frazzled. Love doesn't envy another woman, one whose children are spaced out better or in school so that she's got time to pursue her own interests. Love doesn't try to impress others with my abilities or my knowledge as a mother. And love doesn't scream at the kids. Love doesn't feel cheated because I didn't get to do what I wanted to today, maybe sew or read or soak in a hot tub. Love doesn't lose my temper easily. Love doesn't assume that my children are being naughty just because their voice level is very irritating. Love doesn't rejoice when other people's children misbehave and make mine look good. When was that, Diane? I do not remember. And love is genuinely happy when others are honored by their children. Moms, if your children are here today, they're here to honor you. Please receive that and accept it. And sons and daughters, if you're here, you're here to honor your mom today as well as the Lord Jesus and worship that we have experienced today. And I pray that you will not miss this moment. This is a divine appointment. This is not a coincidence. It's not just a national holiday. It's not just another chance for you to be in the building. This is a very, 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 very special moment. And I pray that you won't miss it. Please don't miss it, because they are precious. Maybe you need to make a decision today. Maybe you'll need to go and leave this building and find your mom. And y'all may need to have a chat. Maybe even pray together. Or maybe in your memories today, you will realize and recognize many of those good things that the Lord has placed in your life through your mom. Happy Mother's Day. Stand with me. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all of our moms. And Lord, I pray that today, as our memories run, that they might run wide and that they might run strong. And if we still have that privilege to go face to face and to say, I love you and I appreciate you, I pray that we would do that. And for those of us whose moms have gone on, may we remember the good things, the positive things, the devotion and the love and the passion that was poured into our life by our mom. We love you, moms, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? Absolutely welcome back for any visitors in the building. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. As you can see,
We will have room for you, and we would invite you to come back. And if you would do that, we'd love to see you here. Moms, have a great, fantastic Mother's Day. Celebrate and enjoy it thoroughly. And once again, there is no service here tonight. So if you have that opportunity and that privilege, please spend that with your family and thoroughly enjoy it. Thank you so much, Brother Mark.
Brother Randy, will you dismiss us, please?
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you once again for your love and mercy, Father. We thank you once again for Jesus. Without you, Lord, we'd be lost. But Father, we thank you for my mother, who's in heaven with my mother-in-law, Jesus. Father, we know they're having a good time. And for those whose mothers are in heaven, Father, comfort them and let them have blessed memories today, Father, and wonderful memories. Father, these are the mothers that are still here, Father. Comfort them and strengthen them. Help them, Father, through these trying times, Father. Pull us together in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.
Safe.